Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the epistle reading, James chapter 5, verses 7 to 10. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word to us, fill us with your spirit of wisdom, so that we may together live as your patient people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. People who work on the land know that they can't control the seasons. They can't make the clouds rain or the sun shine. What they need to do, farmers, is to understand how the land works, how the seasons go. And if they're wise, they'll live in harmony with the seasons and with the land as they patiently wait for the rains to come and for the crops to grow. But if you've ever talked with anybody who's worked on a farm or lived on a farm yourself, then you'll know that the farmer's patience is an active patience. At least the wise farmer's patience is an active patience. Wise farmers don't stay in bed waiting for the rain. They're not idle. Rather, they prepare the land. They mend fences. They care for the animals. My grandparents were farmers. They lived in Laura, and I often spent time with them. I saw that they got up before the sun rose and that they worked steadily and that they stopped working when the sun set. They knew that patiently waiting meant being active. Now this imagery of a farmer waiting patiently for the rains is a key image in today's reading from James. And if you can picture this imagery in your mind's eye, then you'll get what James is talking about. Now today, I'm proclaiming good news from James, that as we patiently, actively await the Lord's advent, his coming, God is growing the fruit of his spirit in our lives. And the crop that God is growing will last for our own good and for his glory. Here's how our reading starts. St. James writes, "Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord." So first of all, there's a command here, a very encouraging command, to be patient, to wait expectantly. And in the context of the letter, there's the aspect of waiting patiently in response to the economic injustice that we see in our world, especially the economic injustice of workers who've worked hard being denied their pay. But St. James makes it clear as the letter goes on that what we're waiting for is not simply the redress of economic injustice, but it's for the coming, the advent of our Lord in his righteousness, in his justice. Now Jesus himself, as we know in his ministry, gave his disciples, gave us, teaching about his coming in glory. And he handed on different imagery for us to meditate on. So especially in this time of Advent, we think about the imagery that Jesus has given us to think about what it means for him to come. He's given us the imagery of a bridegroom coming to a wedding banquet, or of a Lord returning from a trip abroad, or even of a thief coming in the night. This imagery is not meant to answer the question of exactly when he is coming. Jesus, in fact, as we know, warns us against such knowledge. Rather, as we meditate on the imagery, it frees us to live lives that are spiritually prepared for the advent of our Lord in our own lives. We'll come back to this. St. James, though, goes on. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Now it's here that St. James brings in the imagery of the farmer waiting. The farmer waiting for something that is of specific value, the crop that the land produces. A key part of the imagery is that there are things that are beyond the farmer's control. The early and the late rains are things the farmer can do nothing about. And likewise, there are many things in our own lives that we cannot change by our own strength. And I'll use an example now, which I think is one that we've all experienced, something that we can't change, something that we can take wisely as we wait patiently. We can't, for example, force somebody to forgive us. Let's say we've damaged our relationship with our spouse or family member or friend or co-worker or with our Christian brother or sister. We wish we could press rewind. We wish we could take back what we've said or done, but the relationship's been harmed and we are not living in harmony with them. We can't force them to forgive us. And in fact, being impatient with them, demanding that they should forgive us, can even make things worse. Well, what can we do? What does patience look like when we're in situations like this? Situations that most of us, perhaps all of us, have experienced. Well, one thing it would look like is not giving up. Not to use the imagery from St. James of leaving the farm, thinking there's no hope. Trusting that God may yet send the rain of reconciliation can be a wise thing to do. Likewise, praying for the person involved, confessing our sin to them, asking for forgiveness, refraining from judging them as they deal with their hurt. These could all be good ways of farmer-like patience, of wise patience that can bear a good spiritual crop. When we see people act this way, with patience, even with disharmonious relationships, if that's the right word, where there are situations that are difficult, it's attractive for us in the Christian church. We know that patient waiting is a godly thing to do, even waiting for the gift of another person's forgiveness. Of course, to live this way, we need strength from God. And St. James goes on to say this, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Now, to strengthen our hearts means to set ourselves at a goal. Think about Jesus going to Jerusalem. He set his face to go to Jerusalem, knowing what it would mean, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. Knowing that he had a goal gave him patience on the path. He set his face toward Jerusalem, and he lived with patience. Because Jesus knew where he was going, and because he knew that when a grain falls into the ground, it dies but yet brings new life, he could live patiently, and he knew that his death would lead to resurrection and to new life. We can strengthen our hearts as we meditate on the Lord's advent, this Lord's advent, in our lives. Now earlier I mentioned the imagery that Jesus gives us to think about his advent. The image of the coming bridegroom, of the returning master, or even of the thief coming in the night. And again, this is not imagery that answers the question about when Jesus will come in glory. And it doesn't give us a scientific description of how this will happen. I think if we take Jesus' imagery and try and think about it scientifically, exactly how his coming will be, we're on the wrong track. Jesus gives us this imagery so that we can receive it and think about it, so that it can strengthen us in patience and in active waiting. Our Lord is coming. He assures us of this. And he gives us imagery to meditate on so that as we meditate on it, we can be filled with patience that comes as a gift from God. Now, St. James goes on to give us his specific example of this patience, of this active waiting. Listen to what he says. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. Now, here James is talking to the Christian community, to Christian brothers and sisters, and he's talking about how we receive each other. Imagine that you're at a church meeting and somebody gets up to speak, and inwardly, or perhaps outwardly, you sigh and you groan, or you roll your eyes before they've even said a word. St. James is giving us both an encouragement and a warning here. As we patiently receive each other, God grows a good crop among us. But if we groan and sigh in exasperation, not at our own sins and shortcomings, but at the sins and shortcomings of others, then we stand warned. Our judge is standing at the doors. Do we want him to judge us by the way we judge our fellow Christians? Do we want our Lord to impatiently groan and sigh and roll his eyes at our own shortcomings and imperfections? Again, it seems to me we do well if we groan and sigh about our own imperfections, our own sins. The warning here is about those of others. St. James then leaves us with this encouragement. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Now, this time of the church's year, we think especially of St. John the Baptist, who proclaimed God's word even in the face of hostility, even when it led to his imprisonment and death. Jesus, as we heard in today's gospel reading, assures us that John was no fool, that he has a greatness that is worthy of honour, that we can be encouraged in the face of our own difficulties as we consider the example of the prophets, of St. John indeed. But Jesus also assures us that the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist, and such a greatness only comes as a gift from God, and God is the giver of good gifts. We cannot know when our Lord will come revealed in glory, but we can receive our Lord as he comes to us with his glory hidden under simple and humble things. Again, I'll say this. We can't know when the Lord will come in glory, but we can know, even week by week, when the Lord will come to us, hidden for our own good. You know that you can come to Bethlehem at 9 a.m, at 11 a.m, at 7 p.m. You can know that you will hear God's word proclaimed to you, that you will hear the forgiveness of sins proclaimed in Jesus' name. Every Sunday, although not at every service, the Lord comes to us as we receive his body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. This we can prepare for. This we can know. And as we receive our Lord in this way, God trains us in patience. God trains us and builds us up so that we can receive our Lord when we don't know he is coming. And this is a gift we receive together, training together in wisdom as a gift from God. And what gift does Jesus give as he comes to us in his humility and his hiddenness? Nothing less than the forgiveness of our sins. I spoke in the children's address today about being impatient in the traffic. I would not like everything I've done on the road to be played back to you here at Bethlehem, because sometimes I've been impatient. And indeed, before I had children, I thought I was a patient man. So if you're like me, you'll know that you need forgiveness from those around you and from God. But isn't God gracious with us? Does he not forgive our sins in Jesus' name so that we don't need to give up but can wait patiently? Since this is our Lord, since we have a good standard to hold together, and since we have a gracious God, let us live wisely, receiving the word of God as we come together, knowing that God is training us, and knowing that as we do this, he is growing his good fruit in our lives. The fruit of his Spirit is joy, love, peace and patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, its gentleness, its self-control. And this is a crop that lasts. So may God grow this crop in our lives for our own good and also to his glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Peace of God which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.